All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, November 8th, 2018. We'd like to welcome tonight our viewers on Facebook Live and YouTube. We'll be streaming this meeting tonight. Would the clerk please call the roll call?
Mayor Dooley?
Here.
Councilmember Michelson?
Here.
Councilmember Barker?
Here.
And Councilmember Holcomb?
Here.
Great, thank you. If you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Next on the agenda, we have approval of the October 22nd Town Council minutes. And public hearing minutes for October 22nd and the October 30th special meeting minutes. Ms. Holcomb.
I move we approve of the Town Council October 22nd regular meeting minutes and October 22nd 2018 public hearing meeting minutes and October 30th 2018 special meeting minutes.
Ms. Barker?
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to approve the Town Council October 22nd regular meeting minutes, October 22nd public hearing meeting minutes, and the October 30th special meeting minutes. Any further council discussion? Public comment? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Next up is approval of the biweekly claims. Ms. Holcomb?
I move that we approve of the biweekly claims.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker?
Second motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the biweekly claims. Council comment. Ms. Barker?
Claim number 14757995 Axman, the Wildland helmets and gloves. I saw that it came from the Hire Foundation. Grant, what is that?
Correct. The Hire Foundation grant was a grant we received as a result of the 2017 fire season. And it was the grant was specific as to how that money was spent by the fire department, which was wildland firefighting equipment. Okay. Any further questions on the claims? Ms. Holcomb?
Claim 14792. I show there was a clerk travel, and then there's two mayor travels payment out, one for 205.30 and the other one for 202.80.
One for 205.30 is the hotel, 202.80 is vehicle.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Any further comment on the claims? Any public comment on the claims? All right, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Just one spot on the back. All right, next on the agenda is administrative reports. And first up, we have the finance officer, Ms. Van Tassel.
Finally settling down a little bit in the finance world. We're just maintaining or working on the business of the town, managing the budget. Each month I issue reports and give them to the department heads. We review them closely, making sure that we're not overspending and that things are going according to plan. And one of those things that we had planned, the Public Works Department had budgeted for a new vehicle for Public Works because most of theirs are rapidly nearing the end of their useful life. And a while back, I had let you guys know that we had submitted a request to the state procurement process, so let them do all the hard work, getting all the bids and everything. And they came back and let us know that the low bid for the vehicle that we want was awarded to Yellowstone Country Motors. We had budgeted for $30,000 and the bid came in at $24,039, so we're saving about over $5,000 on that truck. So a 2019 Dodge Ram 1500 is in production for us, and as soon as we get notification, we'll verify it over there. But it will be a Ram that can be hot off the press of the vehicle for the public works guys. And that's about it. Yeah.
Any questions for April? And council? Great. Thank you. Next up, we have the police department. Ms. Berthaub.
Thank you. Chief is out in the field. He'd hoped to have been back in time, so I'm here and we'll fill in for him at the moment. Coffee with the Cop was canceled in October due to Chief Marble attending a court hearing in Hamilton, so we did not have that going on in October. This month, though, we will have ours November 29th from 10 to 11:30, and we will be introducing our new officer. Mr. Oberhofer is going to be our guest at Coffee with the Cop this month, so that'll be nice. I attended the 21st annual report to the community for River Valley County Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence luncheon on the 26th of October. SAFE provides a variety of programs, services, and activities, including emergency and short-term housing options for women and children of domestic and sexual violence. SAFE is an asset to River Valley County and is a law enforcement agency. We are grateful for their work and their facility. So it was a good luncheon to go to. It was a good reminder of what's going on in our county and our individual towns. And so they do a good job giving a report. And I'm glad that I was able to be there for that on the law enforcement side. Stevens Old Crime Watch is moving forward, and we'll be having our volunteer applications and pamphlets completed by the end of November. If there's any questions, please feel free to contact the chief or myself, and we can let you know what's going on with that and what stage we're at. And the hiring process, like I said, for the new officer is near completion. The plan is to swear in the new officer the last week of November. And Chief Marple will have an official introduction at a council meeting, but we're also going to have him at the Coffee with the Cop at the end of the month as well. There were 51 calls in the month of October. And that's about it. Are there any questions?
Any questions for the police clerk? Okay. Thanks, Janelle.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Janelle.
All right, rapid fire, Public Works.
So you can see our production of water, now the irrigation season's done. A big difference from how much we use. But, and also on the meter rate, we still have water loss. We're working on that. The water is cool. The fire hydrant on 3rd and Buck Street, we got that repaired and got it paved around it. And we also have another one further down on the list that was hit by a car on the Perry Lane and Eastside Highway. Although, supposedly from the people that work at the business, it had been laying on the ground for about a week before we got the message. And one of our fire department people found it was down because he was doing some electrical work for the building. That's fixed today. We did some street potholes. Next to that fire hydrant there at 3rd and Buck is a dry well that was always flooded. One of the things we found out, they're 10 feet deep, and it had 8 feet of silt in it. That might have been a good part of the reason why it was always water sitting there. There is a reason why water is sitting there, because the pavement's lower than the dry well, so that'll be fixed in the spring. We'll cut that out and repair that. And I have found some other dry wells around town that over the years have gotten filled up with sand, so we'll have to start cleaning those in the future. Our wells 2 and 3, they were supposed to have been decommissioned several years ago, and they just never got done. They are now finally done, and in the process of doing that, we found that well 3 was leaking water from our water system into the well. So that leak has been fixed, so that's one of our leaks on the list now that we can not worry about. We had leak detection done. We tested 155 areas throughout town. We found 6 service leaks, 2 irrigation leaks, 1 curb stop leak, and 2 main leaks. Some of the service leaks are on private property, so it's the homeowners. So we'll have to work with the homeowners about getting these fixed. And we did our leaves and brush cleanup last week, and we got the pool winterized for the wintertime. And that's all I have.
Any questions for George? Thanks, George.
Yes.
Thank you. The gallons treated this month versus last month, why is there such a huge discrepancy?
Oh, that's at the sewer treatment plant. And that's not 65,000 gallons. That's a typo.
That's a 65
million. Yeah, it's not 65 million.
I was just wondering about that.
Yeah. It would have been like 6,812.
Right. Okay.
We've been through yours, unless you have anything to add.
I only had one thing.
Okay.
It wasn't on there.
Great.
Now a good time?
Perfect.
Okay.
Chief, go ahead.
So November 26th, there's a class in Missoula at the Crime Lab for officers and evidence technicians for training and collection of evidence and preservation. It's free, and so I'm planning on sending the new officer in there. And the clerk that's going to be doing that stuff.
Okay. So, fantastic.
The key there is it's free.
And it's close.
Yeah. No, if you're better, that's free.
Is that free with an F?
That's free with an F.
R-E-E. Great. Thanks, Chief. Appreciate the update. All right, moving on. I don't believe we have any guests to introduce tonight, and I don't have any correspondence to bring to the council. So we'll open the floor for public comments. Public comments is an opportunity for you to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town. You'll also have an opportunity to comment on agenda items before the council makes a decision on those items. If you plan to speak tonight either under this period or future public comment sessions on the agenda, please make sure you sign the sign-in sheet next to the door so the clerk can verify your name in the record, and please step to the podium. State your name and address for the record. Any public comment? Mr. Minmack.
Gene Minmack, 1025 Iron Cap, Stevensville. My public comment is that I see that the town attorney has arrived, and I respectfully request that during the public comment period, the town attorney, Brian West, address the letter he sent to Candidate Cruz and the reason behind the need for such an extraordinary act. I've only been here about 14 years, but I've never heard of a citizen being restricted in their access to staff, etc., in the town. I know it happened in Hamilton at the library one time, but the letter that was sent, it seemed to be extraordinary and needed, it seemed to suggest more questions than were available, so I'd like to ask the town attorney to address those tonight for the public and for the council. And also, I'd like to request the town attorney's guidance on the 30-day rule in filling a vacancy on the council. As I understand, several council members have raised this point of possible legality, which is appropriate to discuss and consider with regards to the appointment process. So I think it would be helpful for members of the public to have some guidance from the town's attorney on both of those items. Thank you very much.
Can I go ahead and respond to that?
Absolutely, if you'd like to.
So, in response to the first issue, very well known that we have had a complaint by a staff member about the general allegations boiled down to the idea that the work environment had been hostile, that there had been bullying, there had been intimidation. The town has, with the suggestion of our insurance carrier, retained an individual to an independent investigation. And in the meantime, that investigation is going to take a length of time that is still, as of yet, undefined.
We hope to have the finding next week.
So, where we were not clear if there was going to be a finding, if there's going to be any sort of conclusion about an actual environment that was hostile or intimidating or bullying that our policy dictates that we address, we decided to take interim steps, speaking with the employee, to request that there be structured communication between the subject of that complaint and the individuals named in that complaint. They, to from my understanding, been compliant with that request. It's an interim step, and once we have the actual results and findings of that investigation, then we'll determine what action the different town have. Do they make those requests to structure communication permanent or completely removing them? I don't know. Depends on the result of that investigation. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
And then as to the 30-day rule, addressing that, state law, town code directs that when there's a vacancy for any given position, that that vacancy be filled within 30 days. The town, to my understanding, would be about day 31 or day 32 by today for the actual appointment, replacement of Councilperson Smith's vacated position. It came to my attention last week that there was a question of whether or not there should be called a special meeting to ensure that that appointment was made within that 30-day deadline, or if the council should take up the issue tonight at the previously noticed meeting. What it boils down to, in my opinion, legally speaking, is that the consequences for missing that 30-day window by a day or two versus the consequences of not bringing the matter before the public when it's been given notice, perhaps rushing that matter, and individuals not being given sufficient notice of the decision, it's preferable to, I guess, err on the side of giving the public notice and being a day or two on the 30-day window than it is to try and rush it in within 30 days and perhaps somebody misses the notice that they're having a special meeting. Does that answer your question, Gene?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian. Any further public comment? Ms. Knapp.
Lowy Knapp, 526 East 3rd Street. I want to say that the world has become a scary place. Two mass murders within a month, one yesterday. Our life is disturbed. I think what's fundamental to us as human beings is we need to feel safe. We need to feel safe at home. That's our business. How we structure that. We need to feel safe at work. And we have a situation here where that isn't up to us. That's going to be up to you and your decision. We have a case in point where somebody who has applied for a job could create a situation where people do not feel safe, and that's not fair. We need to be able to go to work, do our job, not only not feel safe, but enjoy it. So I'm asking you to consider the situation and the environment that you're creating for staff, for other people on the council, for the mayor, for us who come in and out. And consider that you need to provide an environment which is good, not hostile.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Ms. Cook.
Kathy Cook, Whitetail Way. I have a document with me that was requested regarding my donation of $5,000 to be paid to a contractor for the installation of a security system in Lewis and Clark Park. There's a few things that I need to clarify about the donation because it's been stated and reported in the local newspaper that the donation was actually coming from Stevensville Youth Soccer, which it is not. I am the president of that organization, but the night on September 10th when I stood up and said that I would be donating the money, I met myself, my husband Mike, and our company, which is Intermountain Industrial, that we own and operate. We've donated money to several projects in the town of Stevensville, and I'm involved with many different organizations that I volunteer for. And this is another way that we are giving back to not only our park, but our community. I keep hearing that I'm doing this security system just because of the soccer program, and that is not true. I am doing it because our park needs the security. Stevensville Youth Soccer only uses the parks for their games and practices for 2 months out of the year. My concern is for 12 months. Just because our goals and nets go away doesn't mean that the vandalism stops and other issues go away. there are problems all year round. It has been suggested that the soccer community take down the nets and put them back up to avoid vandalism. Is this also what needs to be done to our playground and to the skate park and to the picnic pavilions and the bathroom facility, which have all been vandalized? I want our park to be safe, have security cameras that help to work as a deterrent to illegal activities and as a tool to help prove, identify, and stop illegal activities in the park. Since I've made this commitment, I have had many parents, business owners, and community members come up to me and thank me for what I'm doing. They're grateful that something is finally being done to help stop the vandalism and destruction in the park. Others have come forward with donations to volunteer with the labor because they also want a safe park. So I have the document for you, and after this meeting, I'm going to make the call to the contractor, and they will start the work. They estimate it takes 2 to 3 days to do it, so we're hoping to get it done before it gets too snowy and cold. And also on September 10th, it was approved by the town council that the town would reimburse Stevens LU Soccer for a net that was vandalized down at Lewis and Clark Park, and I also have an invoice for the net that has been purchased. So, and I'll copy each of you.
Kathy. Any further public comment? Mr. Sharkey.
Michael Sharkey, 203 St. Mary's Drive. I came here tonight intending to make a comment to support the idea of video taping and streaming the council meeting, but you preempted my comment. I'd like to thank you for that. I think streaming the council meetings are a valuable asset to the community. Gives a wider range of people the knowledge of what's going on in town and makes everybody more informed. I discovered it after being sick a couple weeks ago and went on Facebook and I was very pleased to be able to watch the council meeting, which I couldn't attend because I was sick. A second thing I'm curious about is I was here for the interviews for the candidates for the council position. And I'm kind of not very knowledgeable what's going on here, but I don't recall the subject of Mr. Cruz being restricted coming up. I'm curious if that was something that occurred before the interviews and everybody knew about it but me, or I'd be interested in knowing that. Thank you.
Further public comment? Ms. Toll. Hattie, just a moment. You're next.
Oh, that's all right.
Oh, go ahead. I hate for you to get up and down. Go ahead, Hattie. You're fine.
I'm here tonight is about the appointment to the town council. I was really surprised that Mr. Cruz's name is even on the list. He did lose the election. And I'm so fed up with all the petty, childish actions that this council has taken. And if you appoint him back to the council, the citizens of this town voted him out of office. And if you appoint him back, I'd consider it a real slap in the face. to the other two people that are on the list, all I know about them is what I read in Star this afternoon. And why any intelligent person would volunteer to join this mess that this council has become, I don't understand, but more power to them. But I am definitely against Mr. Cruz being appointed back. The people of the town voted him out, and I think you should consider that. And that's all. Thank you.
Ms. Toll?
Good evening. My name is Desiree Toll, and I live at 262 Barber Street, which is in Ward 2. I would also like to state for the record that I was on the Stevensville Town Council for 4 years from 2010 through 2013. So I think I can say that I speak with some experience about what it's like to be a council member, but also what it's like to have contention on the council. It was during that time that Groninger was on the council and the whole thing with the mayor and all those things that happened. And I want you to know that it is so disruptive to have this kind of discord. It was awful then, and I don't care which side of the aisle or beliefs or ideology you are on, but there's a reason why town councils are supposed to be nonpartisan. That's how you run as a candidate, and that's how you should function as an individual. And I am disappointed that that lack of foresight isn't here and hasn't been for a while. The other side of that is I want to speak about when everything goes well. And there was a period on that town council, and Robin was there too, where I felt like things were going well. And it was challenging times, but at least there was a certain amount of mutual respect among the council members and the mayor and the employees. And I can tell you, it's a wonderful experience to serve under that kind of an atmosphere. And I hope that we can get to that point again. However the decisions go, I just hope that people look at it as who will make it a cohesive element to bring that element into this council and into this town. And remember that this is a nonpartisan position. You are here for the town. And we're a very small town. I was out driving the streets yesterday, and I was reminded again how many small blocks we have that is the town of Stevensville. It's not a very large area, and yet we fail to represent the public positively. And I'm sad for that. And I hope that we can turn the corner and that you, Stacy, and you, Robin, and you, Bob, and you, Brandon, you all have an opportunity. And we have an opportunity as citizens to be supportive. But I'm ready to see something good happen. Thank you.
Public comment. Mr. Moore.
My name is Joe Moore, 514 Central. I had a list of things that I wanted to do. A lot of the things that have been said previous to my coming up here are things that everybody knows about, and I'm here to voice just a more positive note in the support of Ann McCormick. I would recall that there was a, not too long ago, if I'm not mistaken, there was an event held at the high school to invite candidates at that time when Mr. Smith was running. And there were a number of candidates that were on this list here that didn't show up for that particular meeting. they were running for the position at that time. So I think that speaks of those particular individuals. But I would like to say that I think in the time that I've known Ann, Ann has been a very respected, knowledgeable, and professional person. She brings a very positive attitude to all of her interactions. And she has a lot of friends who trust her. And that trust is based on exactly who she is in her heart and her spirit. So I would endorse her candidacy. She's not in my ward, but she's a person I know and I respect, and I just want to make sure that that got out there.
Excuse me, any further public comment? All right. Well, keeping on with the theme then, we'll move on to unfinished business, discussion decision to appoint a candidate to fill the vacant Ward 2 council position. To date, the town council undertook a process of selecting questions, interviewing three of the four candidates that applied, and here we are tonight for the council to nominate and make an appointment to that seat. Ms. Barker.
I make a motion to appoint Jim Cruz to fill the vacant position on town council created by the resignation of Ray Smith.
Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
Indeed. I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved by Ms. Barker and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to appoint Jim Cruz to fill the vacant position on town council created by the resignation of Ray Smith. Council discussion. Ms. Holcomb.
Go ahead.
Oh. Ms. Holcomb.
I just want to let everybody know that I went through those applications over and over and over. And this was the hardest decision I probably ever had to make in my lifetime. I just felt that I needed to pick the best candidate that was out there.
No, you picked the...
Ms. Parker.
I would also like to say that I did go through the applications over and over again. It was something that was discussed that Robin and I would get together to make that final decision. However, that would have created a quorum. So we did choose on our own. I did look over many times, went through the questions that were asked as well, and I felt he had answered the questions to the best of knowledge. I understand that others were probably nervous at the time, but he answered the questions that I was looking for.
Okay. Any further council discussion? Public comment? Okay. If there's no further public comment.
Grant.
Yep.
Can you just have a minute?
Yes. Sure.
Okay. All right. So public comment. My name is Joe Moore, 514 Central. There have been a lot of people that have been sitting here expressing the same kind of opinion. Am I surprised? Yeah. Am I surprised? Yes and no. But given the fact that we have two council members who are undergoing scrutiny. And I've attended these council meetings for the last couple of years, and you've heard people tell you how contentious this is. To not offer, and then to tell me that it was your sole decision is based on the answer to the questions that were asked, when you're not even looking at the person. I mean, you have an opportunity to look at some new view, to look at some new ideas, to look at some new people, as opposed to, and I did have go through this, and I do have comments on all of the candidates about what I could say. I don't know, if you want to start with Jim Cruz, we could talk about what coding and communication is, as opposed to understanding and listening. I didn't come here to teach you about how to be a council member. But I am just really disappointed that I'm going to continue to come to these meetings trying to be positive and listening to the same garbage over and over again.
Ms. Perrin.
Jen Perrin, 503 Charlotte. I have a question for the two council members that are making this appointment. I hear you both say that you looked at the applications over and over and over, and that you felt that this was your best decision. My question is, did you listen to your community? That's who you're here to represent. I made a call to both of you. One call wasn't even returned, and the other call was met with total rudeness. You are our representatives, and you should listen to the community also. Thank you.
Further public comment? Mr. Sharkey.
So this goes back to my first comment. I'm curious as to what point council members were aware of Mr. Cruz's restrictions. And if it was before the interviews, did you or did you not take that into consideration? I've got to think if you did, you would just eliminate him automatically. Everybody in this room did. That's why I think that way. I got to tell you, another thing everybody in this room probably thinks also is that it was a foregone conclusion. Didn't have anything to do with the questions. Questions were inane questions anyway. What do you like about Stevenson? I'm sorry, you asked about five questions that didn't have anything to do with being a city councilman. Everybody walked out of here shaking their head like, what was that? I'm just really disappointed.
Any further public comment, Mr. McMahon?
Gene McMahon. I understand and respect how you've reviewed the candidates. And reviewing the applications is certainly one of the details that you need to pay attention to. And I believe that you did that, and you did that with due diligence. But I think that it's not the only consideration. I've often heard council members say that feedback from the public and listening to the public in terms of what they think about things is vitally important to how we make decisions as a council member. Whether or not they're from your ward or not, sometimes you hear from people on, you know, from different wards, but that's understandable. You're making decisions for the entire town. So I've often heard you say that feedback from the public is extremely important in knowing how to guide a council members to say, what does the community want? Versus any other reasons. And it's extremely important, and I believe that you have talked about that. In this particular case, I can't see how one would just view it on the strength of a written application. There was no mention of the interview itself having an impact, what the person said, how they appeared. And secondly, we've had folks come forward and support individual candidates in all good faith, citizens of the town, and yet those appear to have not had much of an influence, and I find that interesting. When oftentimes you do say, public import, let us know how you think. What do you think is the best thing going forward? Mr. Phillips here has put his hand up several times. I think it's a disservice to the candidates that an issue of character, which has been demonstratedly shown to be lacking with Mr. Cruz, not just in this moment, but while he was mayor and while he was council member when I was mayor. And he acknowledged as much. And to ignore an issue of character, I don't think is appropriate when our characters are what we live and die with, and how we're perceived in the community. How do we want to be looked at? How do we want people to treat us? And an issue of character, I think, is fundamental to how the public perceives the process of how we are as council members, how we are as mayors, how we serve the community. It's a vital thing. The issues that are, you know, before the town council now and are being investigated, apparently, are not to be taken lightly. Those issues were taken lightly one time in this town at great expense to the town. We had a mayor who was asked by two staff members to keep an elected official, in this case it was a judge, from harassing them. And it went on and on and on. And that mayor failed to respond appropriately. And both of the staff members at some point quit their jobs and walked off. And that's how the water clerk came to be. She was a temp, hired on the very day that the entire staff disappeared. Mayor Meisner handed her the keys and said, good luck. And she's still here today. She has been a very, very sound employee. But the issues of not responding appropriately to allegations of harassment cannot be dismissed out of hand. Now, whether or not those allegations have been proven yet or not, I would say the letter to Mr. Cruz lends one to suspect that the town's attorney felt it was important to protect the town legally while the investigation was happening. That's just a fact. Otherwise, you wouldn't issue a letter, which was extraordinary, to prevent a citizen from interacting with their government. You can't, in my opinion, you just can't ignore that. Now, there is an investigation. We don't have the results of it. I understand Mr. Michelson was named. He's under investigation. We don't know. What if the results of those investigations lead to a lawsuit? We're putting people here who are subject to a serious investigation by an outside attorney named, recommended to the town by the town's insurer. That means other people are taking this issue extremely seriously with regard to the liability it creates for the employees and for the town as a whole. I think to ignore that at this moment is not very credible. And I think it's an error in judgment. I understand Mr. Cruz is a longstanding member of the community. He served in varying capacities and all of that being said. But to not consider character of Mr. Phillips, Anne Marie McCormick, their strength of character has been attested to, and they seemingly bring no baggage with them. And if there's anything that you all have stated is that you want to see a more positive attitude, you want to see us working together going forward. There's nobody in this room, no matter where they're sitting, who doesn't agree. And this potential vote on an appointment of Mr. Cruz, I think, is a slap in the face to all of the town and your own statements that you want to move forward with a better atmosphere, with good character and less histrionics. And when you have staff that have voiced their concerns, and those concerns have been taken seriously by outside people and the town's attorney, to allow that to go on by having Mr. Cruz serve as a responsible council member, I think it's unconscionable. Thank you very much.
Further public comment? Ms. Motley.
Vicki Motley, 318 9th Street. I just arrived at the meeting. I've been at parent-teacher conferences all night. I was able to listen to a few of the comments online while I was finishing up my work at school. And the comments I heard came from people living in Ward 2. Currently, Ward 2 is not being represented in the process of selecting the new council member since Mike Bob stepped back. So no one is representing Ward 2 in this decision. So I feel that it's really important that you guys listen to the people that are from Ward 2 and are telling you their feelings. I think it's extremely important that you listen to their feelings. You guys constantly say, we want to hear from the residents. We want to hear what you have to say. And a lot of people from Ward 2 have spoken tonight, and I would like for you to seriously take in their comments as being part of this. I think it's important, because these meetings have not been the most pleasant to sit through. And I think that maybe it's time for a change.
Okay. Any further public comment? Okay. Hearing no further public comment, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Holcomb. Okay. We can take a moment, and when you guys are ready, let me know.
Sorry. I hadn't mind. And then hearing all the comments.
We'll take all the time you need. This is a decision that requires some substantial thought, and we don't want to be hasted through it. So take whatever time you need to think about your vote going forward.
No.
Ms. Barr.
No.
Mr. Michelson? Motion fails. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there another nomination or motion for the floor? Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we appoint Jerry Phillips to fill the vacant position on the town council created by the resignation of Ray Smith.
Okay. Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second the motion.
It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to appoint Jerry Phillips to fill the vacant position on town council created by the resignation of Ray Smith. Council discussion.
You were my second.
Okay. Public comment. Okay. Hearing no further discussion from the council or the public, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson.
Abstain.
Okay, motion passes. Congratulations, Jerry. We can set up an opportunity with you and your family to come in, and we'll be undergo the oath. Okay. Let's just take a 5-minute break, if that's okay with the council. Just unwind. Okay, we'll take a 5-minute recess, everybody.
I'm leaving town. Won't see me for a few months. You can say thank you.
Okay. Be safe.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Council meeting on November 8th. We're on unfinished business. Item B, setting a committee of the whole meeting on December 3rd, 2018 to discuss the town's fiscal year 18-19 budget. Ms. Van Tassel, do you want to present?
It was proposed by the council to initiate an audit of the fiscal 18-19 budget. I made it hopefully known that there is really no such thing and it would be better if we all just sat down, talked about our questions, and reviewed and went through whatever the problems were, we just sit down and talk about it. So we're hoping that we can get a committee of the whole meeting and we can all just sit down and go through and figure out where issues are.
Great, thanks, April. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we settle a committee of the whole meeting on December 3rd, 2018 to discuss the town's fiscal 2018-2019 budget.
Is there a second?
Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to set a committee of the whole meeting for December 3rd, 2018 to discuss the town's fiscal year 2018-2019 budget. Council discussion. Ms. Barker?
I think it's the reason for the us to come together again was there were some unanswered questions on how the funds were being appropriated. And I think coming together as one, that will kind of answer, and being able to go through the process again will answer some unanswered questions.
Sure. I think it'll give us an opportunity to update you on where we are spending-wise as well, year-to-date. Ms. Trudency.
Yes, Mayor, do we commit the time for that, on that date?
Is it 7 o'clock, Bob?
I didn't set a date. All I just said was
time. You set the date. You just said, I think we can agree on a time.
Yeah, we didn't agree on a time. We just set the date. December 3rd, 2018.
What time?
Oh, 7 p.m.
Okay. Is that sufficient, Audrey?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Any further council discussion? Public comment.
Will that be streamed?
Yes. All meetings of the council will be streamed, provided they are okay with that. All right, no further public comment or council discussion. We'll call for the vote. Ms. Barker?
Aye.
Ms. Holcomb?
Aye.
And Mr. Michelson?
Aye.
Great, thank you. We'll see you on the 3rd. Next item on the agenda is discussion decision to approve Resolution 387C, Resolution Amending Town Council Rules, Part 3, Meetings to Change Regular Scheduled Meeting Days from the 2nd and 4th Mondays of the month to the 2nd and 4th Thursdays of the month, effective January 2019. Ms. Trudency.
Thank you, Mayor Dewey. Council members, this item really is a housekeeping item. At October 22nd, Council decided to change the meeting dates from the 2nd and 4th Mondays to the 2nd and 4th Thursdays of the month beginning in January. Because this is included in the Town Council rules, we do have to amend those rules, and to amend them, we have to do it through a resolution. The motion did not include amending the rules with the resolution, so that's what we're asking tonight is to approve the resolution to basically ratify your decision on October 22nd.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve Resolution 387C, a resolution amending the Town Council rules, Part 3, meetings to change the regular scheduled meeting days from the 2nd and 4th Monday of the month to the 2nd and 4th Thursday of the month, effective January 2019.
Ms. Barker.
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to approve Resolution 387C, a resolution amending the Town Council rules, Part 3, meetings to change the regularly scheduled meeting days from the 2nd and 4th Monday of the month to the 2nd and 4th Thursday of the month, effective January 2019. Longest motion ever. Council discussion.
We don't have to say that again, right?
I hope not. Any council discussion? Public comment? Okay. Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Mr. Michelson?
Aye.
Ms. Holcomb?
Aye.
And Ms. Barker?
Aye.
Great. Thank you very much. Moving on to new business, item A is discussion decision regarding council's meeting structure to better accommodate communication. This stems from the communication workshop we held last week, in that we talked about having an administrative meeting of the council in order to get through some of the items on the agenda to help better, the administration could better inform you of what we're asking you to do on these items. So it'd be a briefing on the agenda administratively. What we're here tonight asking is how you want that to look. There's been a number of different ideas bantered about, I think, informally. One of those being that we use the meeting, we meet every week, and so we meet on the 2nd and 4th Thursdays now for council meetings, and then the 1st and 3rd Thursdays would become administrative meetings, so we'd have a meeting every week and go through that administrative task of getting through the agenda. The other idea that was thrown out was that we forego having two council meetings a month and have one council meeting at the end of the month or at the beginning of the month, and then the other meeting would be the administrative meeting to cover the next meeting's material. That's doable for the administration. Either one are doable. They both have their pros and cons. Meeting every week is somewhat of a, it's a challenge because of schedules and time commitments for, I think, everyone, including the staff. I mean, they got to commit one night a week to be here in order to get us through the material. However, meeting just once a month kind of puts us on some tight deadlines with getting bills paid. We'd have to notify our vendors and let them know that we're on a once a month schedule instead of biweekly. Also, there's a longer lead time in order to get the agenda published or get the agenda prepared, so that 2 weeks before the actual council meeting, you have an agenda that we can administratively go over. So there's some legwork ahead of time where we have much larger leads on agendas if we move to a once a month meeting. But we're willing to accommodate whatever it is the council would like to do in order to better facilitate communication and inform you of the decisions we're asking you to make. Ms. Barker?
Would there be a consideration that maybe, have the three meetings a month, but rotate from 1 month as a council, the whole meeting, to a workshop the next meeting? I mean, that's...
We can make it look however you want to. I think for consistency's sake, because I think the point of what at least the facilitators of that meeting were trying to get across was that we really should have an opportunity to go through our agenda just as it looks tonight, previous to this council meeting, to go through the nuances that are contained in those items and those administrative functions and really get into the nuts and bolts of it with the staff and myself. So for consistency's sake, I think you need to have probably this administrative meeting prior to each council meeting, but that's determined by how many council meetings a month you want to have. I think if the council wants to continue holding committee of the whole meetings, where we kind of workshop one issue, has been kind of past practice. We're proposing tonight that we workshop two issues at a committee of the whole meeting, but typically those are designated for one meeting or one item. And I'm not opposed to throwing those in throughout calendar, maybe even agendizing those so that on the fifth, Thursday of each month, we just have a set committee of the whole meeting. That would give us once per quarter, where every quarter we come together and workshop those much larger global issues that committee of the whole meetings typically take up. Ms. Holcomb.
I know it was said that if we have one every week, people might start getting burnt out. Mm-hmm. And I think that needs to be something we need to think about as well when we're talking. Because I really like the fact that, having a meeting, the first council meeting being just a workshop, mm-hmm. and going over stuff, and then having the second meeting as our council meeting. I think having it four times a month might just get everybody burnt out. I mean, not just us, but the public coming in. Sure.
An alternative to, if there's a deterrent to blocking out every Thursday throughout the month, an alternative could be that we get together, if a meeting's on Thursday, maybe we get together for an administrative meeting on Tuesday night before that council meeting to go through those things so you have enough time to digest what we went through. So we meet every other week, we meet twice. It doesn't resolve the issue, though, of having multiple meetings. The hope is that by having more meetings, maybe we spend less time in those meetings because you'll be so informed that they'll move along a little bit quicker. Hopefully. There's potential. We have doozy meetings where we go late. But our hope is that with more information, that the time commitment in the meetings themselves will reduce. But obviously the time commitment for homework and background work will increase. And certainly, and that's not just for the council's behalf, that it's going to obviously add a workload to the staff in my office, but we're willing to undertake that simply for the benefit of making sure you're informed. And if you're, excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt you, but if you're not prepared tonight to finalize this, it's okay. We can put this on as an agenda item unfinished next month, or next at the next meeting, and you guys can discuss schedules and that sort of thing if you'd like to. We have a council meeting scheduled now, and so it's not like we're not going to get anything done. But We would like to at least go into the first of the year with some sort of idea of what is the year going to look like for the staff and administration, so we can get those schedules kind of worked out for folks, so they have something, we know what we're working into with our work plans. So it's up to the council on how they proceed tonight. You can decide finally what you want to do, but we can also just come back with further ideas at the next meeting. Ms. Holcomb.
Well, it just says that we can only discuss it.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
Okay. So we can't make a decision on it tonight.
Great. consider it discussed. Good catch.
The public should get to discuss, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ms. Barker.
You know, I think this is a great idea to be able to do this. However, I know we've got a lot of upcoming things coming between November and December. A lot of big, you know, we only have one council meeting in the month of December. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that maybe this should be brought as something fresh and new to the new year. I don't know if that's my opinion on that. And then we can figure out what type of workshops that we're looking at.
Okay. So I think before I call for public comment, it sounds like the direction is we leave this on the agenda for the next few meetings and continue to gather information and input from council and public and staff, and then either make a decision prior to the first of the year or maybe enter the first year with a decision. Sound fair?
Sounds fair.
Public comment? Mr. Howell.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what these administrative meetings are that you're referring to. I know people meet administratively over different issues through different departments all the time.
Sure.
But to schedule some kind of special administrative meeting, I don't know, the city of Hamilton, they're a little bigger than you guys and they have a lot more business, I guess, to do, but they seem to handle it fairly well with just the regular setup of a council meeting and then a committee of the whole meeting. And the committee of the whole, of course, is the entire council. And so this is the venue that people from the public bring their stuff to. You don't go rushing right into a town council to say, we want to do this, we want to do that, what do you think? You go to the committee of the whole first and say, we want to have a playground, or we want to do this, and you present it to the council, but as their body, as a committee, where they can like just talk about it, you know, and not take any action. And so everything comes into the committee of the whole and gets considered by the council, and then when you feel like it's approached the point where you know enough about it, you are all informed, you say, let's send it to the council. And so when the council convenes, things have been well discussed, you know? And so it makes it a lot easier to do business and to do it quickly, you know, and efficiently and stuff, because really you have hassled it out already. And I don't know that it's appropriate to do that sort of hassling out in some sort of administrative way or whatever. It is public, and it should be done all in the public, I think.
So Michael, to hedge off, we're talking about the same thing. You're just calling it a committee of the whole, and I'm calling it an administrative meeting.
Well, no,
the administrative meeting theory came from our facilitators, who actually brought that to us from Helena. City of Helena does the same thing. They workshop their agenda before they actually go into the council meeting. And so it's a public meeting with an agenda, which most of the items on that agenda match up to the next council meeting. So that they can fully discuss those things in a workshop setting, in a committee setting, not make decisions on them.
Well, they're different, though. They are different.
To you, they are.
Well,
sure.
That's why they have different names. And a committee of the whole is a meeting of the council.
Absolutely.
And if a meeting is not.
Well, I think we differ on what the definition is.
Well, as soon as you get your counselors together, you have some sort of a public meeting.
Correct.
And so if you're going to call that administrative, that's just a new form of public meeting, I guess. Generally, those are not public.
Well, any meeting.
That's why they call them administrative. It's just officials getting together to discuss their problems. What are we going to do about this sewer that's now, or whatever. And you don't need to have the public there. But I think on these items that you're talking about, that are going to be agenda items that the town is going to decide on, the public should be.
Oh, absolutely. We would discourage public involvement by any means. Any further public comment? Mr. Tadvik.
Michael, Jim Tadvik, 509 Mission Street. I just want to say this is probably the first time I've ever agreed with Michael.
One at a time. Guys, just come on now. Let's
decorum. I do have a comment. As far as the agenda items go, it'd be great if you could have the executive report and the town council comments at the beginning of the meeting, because that's, to me, is where all the meat's at.
Okay.
Because the public misses a lot, but they always leave before those comments are made.
Sure.
So I'd like to have that from the front, just a recommendation.
Noted. Thank you. Any further public comment? All right. I think we have a direction. If there's nothing further from the council, we'll move on. Okay. New business item B, discussion decision on resolution 438, resolution adopting the town of Stevensville town council live streaming of council meetings policy. Ms. Prudency.
Mayor Dooley, council members, thank you. This item gives you the ability to talk about live streaming and a possible policy that would go along with that. The policy is included in your packets and the town attorney has reviewed that policy. Live streaming, we started a test run a couple of meetings ago. Received a number of positive feedback regarding that. We've heard some comments today about the live streaming as well. Live streaming is not a new concept. It's taking place in many jurisdictions across not only Montana, but the country. It allows people who aren't able necessarily to attend the meetings, but who want to be informed of what's going on, another opportunity to stay informed. So this right now is possible action on a resolution adopting a policy and the decision for council to determine if you want to continue with live streaming.
Great. Thanks, Audrey. What would the council like to proceed? Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve resolution 438, a resolution adopting a Town of Stevensville, Town Council live streaming of council meetings policy.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb and seconded by Ms. Barker to approve resolution 438, a resolution adopting a Town of Stevensville, Town Council live streaming of council meetings policy. Discussion from council. Ms. Holcomb.
I was just wondering why we didn't make this policy before we started this. And how much is this costing the town to do this, to put it out on Facebook and YouTube, and where are we getting the money to cover this?
We wanted to kind of trial it and see if it was a worthwhile venture first before we went through the legislative process of ratifying anything. Once we did that and received the positive feedback that we did, then we drafted a policy up from and borrowed it from another community. The funding so far, this has cost us a little over $150, I think $156 to be exact. And we had funding in our administrative budgets to cover that. There's no ongoing cost, unless the camera dies, to stream. It's free streaming services that we're using. So until the council wants to upgrade or not, then that may be an increased cost. But for right now, for very low investment, we're able to provide the service. Does that answer your questions?
Thank you, yes.
Yep. Ms. Barker.
So the one question I have is, I know that it is being streamed on Facebook. So is this going to be posted to the website as well? Because not everybody has Facebook.
Yes. So currently we're streaming on both YouTube services and Facebook. So if you have access to the internet, you're able to log into YouTube. We've had some challenges with the YouTube channel, but we're hoping that we've overcome those. once our new Muni Code website is implemented, which hopefully will be close to the first of the year, then those videos will be saved there forever, and you can go back and look at previous council meetings, you can listen to the audio of those council meetings, it'll all be readily accessible. So the primary place that these videos will be streamed and saved will be the new website once it's up and running. Right now we're just running it on Facebook. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Mr. Michelson.
As for, excuse me, I've got a throat issue. As for a public record, though, audio would be number one, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
We'll still keep the recorder on the table, and that'll be what's stored on our files. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions from council?
No comments?
Public comment? Mr. Tadbeck.
Instructions for solar people?
Instructions? Sure. We'll put something together. Absolutely. Yeah. We can do that.
Website letters.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't hide them on our website or anything like that. No. Instructions are a great idea. We'll drop a little card or something. We can do that. We have the capacity.
Maybe put it in the star. I'll do it.
Absolutely. Further public comment? Mr. West.
Just to point out, page 2 still has 5.2, there's a reference to a statutory section for closing meetings, and the draft comment has hashtags on my copy.
Ours does as well in the council packet. You have the code off the top of your head?
It's actually referenced.
It's referenced at the end?
2-3-2.
Okay. We'll administratively correct that. It's an oversight. Does everybody understand what he's referencing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the code that will be inserted where the three little hashtags are.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate bringing that to our attention. Any further public comment? Hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Barker?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
And Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Great. Thank you. Next item is item C of new business, discussion decision on setting a committee of the whole meeting November 15th, 2018 to discuss airport infrastructure and the e-communication policy. I think that the e-communication policy is ready to go. We've received Ms. Barker's input electronically, and so we'll incorporate that into the draft. So I'd like to just bring us together and finalize that draft so we can bring it back to town council, hopefully in December, as long as we all agree on that. And then we've kind of stumbled into some issues up at the airport in regards to the water system up there, if you want to call it a water system. It's a well that somehow we acquired that over the years, probably over 40 years, the airport hangar owners or users have just systematically just been hooking into this well and just kind of daisy chaining their water lines together. We received recently a request to hook into the well or into the water lines of the next hangar over, which triggered us to think, okay, what are we doing here? Is this creating a public water supply? How does all this look? So what I'd like to do is, these are kind of conversations and decisions, policy decisions that the council really needs to be involved in and really set as to what infrastructure at the airport looks like in the long term and short term. And so that's the purpose of the committee of the whole meeting I'm asking for, is to kind of give us a direction entering the new year as to how we can pull some policy together and give the airport users an expectation of what they think they can expect for infrastructure at the airport in terms of water and sewer services. And it's been kind of an on and off topic since annexation. I think annexation, we were pretty clear that we would not be providing water services up there. Yet somehow we've acquired a well. We have been paying the power bill on that well every month, and we don't really have any idea of where the water from that well goes. So we need to kind of resolve that, and I want the council to be involved in that discussion. So that's kind of why we're asking for the meeting on November 15th. Ms. Barker.
I move to set a committee of the whole meeting for November 15th, 2018 to discuss the airport infrastructure and e-communication policy at 7 o'clock on the 15th.
Okay. Is there a second? Ms. Holcomb.
I'll second it.
Okay. It's been moved by Ms. Barker and seconded by Ms. Holcomb to set a committee of the whole meeting for November 15th, 2018 to discuss airport infrastructure and the e-communication policy at 7 o'clock. Any further council discussion? Ms. Barker.
Are people from the airport going to be there as well so that they are...
Yes. So we're going to let the... Obviously, the whole public will know because there'll be a notice meeting, but we'll make extra sure that the council or that the airport board and airport users are aware that this conversation is happening so that they can be involved. And we've already touched base with Morrison Merrily, our primary engineer at the airport, and they're also going to come down since they have kind of some more historical knowledge of what's happened up there over the years, and they're also interested to hear what the long-range plan of that facility looks like. So they'll be in attendance as well, I'm sure. And we'll probably suck George into it because he just loves to talk about water.
All the way.
All right. Any further questions from council? Public comment. Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Barker.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Great. Thanks. Next item is item D, discussion decision regarding forms for MuniCode's agenda management software system. Ms. Tribbensee.
Thank you. As you're aware, we are purchasing new software systems to manage our agendas and the packets. It will be an online system, so the problems that we're having now, giving you hard copies or emailing you the packets, will go away with this new system. But as part of that, we need to identify some forms, which ones we prefer that our service provider will use. We have an agenda form I would like for you all to look at. This one on the screen right now is the modified agenda with the town's logo on it. This is not what we've used in the past. If you look at it closely, you'll see that, like the approval of the minutes, in our current system, it would have the number in front of, I believe it's 3 or 4, the number in front of approval of the minutes. In this modified format, there's no number in front of that, but the numbers fall under the action items, so the approval of the minutes would be 1, August 27th, so on and so forth. So anything that has an action would be numbered on the modified. So this is one option to look at. The other one is our original agenda, which I was just referring to, with the town's logo added onto it. So again, all the numbers that we have on the agenda would stay in place with the subcategories ABC instead of the modified agenda, which is 1, 2, 3 under the headings of each agenda item. So we're looking for direction from council which agenda you prefer. We can stick with our original format, or we can have a little bit modified to streamline the format. So April, if you wouldn't mind going back to that one, please. So here's the modified one. And is it making sense where the changes are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Audrey, what I'd like to do is build a consensus on the agenda, and then let's move on to the next form. Ms. Barker.
I personally like how it's broke down in our original with the ABC instead of having the numbers.
Okay, so it's like the 3A, 3B, 3C, 10A, 10B, 10C. Okay. How's the rest of council feel?
I agree.
Okay.
Okay. That was easy.
Okay.
So if we could go to the request form. This is the modified request form. Could you go one more? This is what we're currently using now. So you're all familiar with this form. The modified form has like input areas where you would, if you have the form on the computer, you're going to just click in there and type in the box. So it's just same information, exact same information, just a different format. This format actually makes it a little easier for whoever's filling out the form, and then for the person, in this case me, who's creating the agenda, to easily transfer the information over to the agenda. The original, if we could go back to this one, it still will do that, but it's not as simple as the modified form.
I think it's worth noting that the new form, the modified form, was created by MuniCode. We sent them this form, and they said, can we suggest an alternate?
Right.
The other thing is that what this form will do is if you type in the agenda item, if you put it in electronically and you submit it, it automatically will take that information and put it on the agenda for us, and so that Audrey isn't duplicating that effort. It's just automatically moving it on, putting it on the agenda, and then Audrey just has to fill in the details of the attachment. She doesn't have to retype the agenda item. Ms. Holcomb?
I like the modified one.
Ms. Barker?
Can I have a bigger if no, why not spot, please? It's not big enough. Just
sure.
Saying.
Oh, sure. And it's that's, just, yeah, that field is seldomly filled in.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, there are those. I write a book.
Okay. Yep. And the Muni Code's willing to accommodate whatever desires we have as far as a form. So we can make that a, you know, multiple line forms. Or
I do like the form, but if it was a little bit
bigger.
Yeah.
Okay. We can make that happen.
I mean, you got room.
Oh, yeah. We've got a half page, so absolutely. Is there any public comment on the forms that council's chosen? Great. I don't think it requires a motion. I think we can just move on as long as everybody's in consensus.
I'm good.
Great. All right. That concludes the business portion of our agenda. Let's see. I've got just a couple items in the executive report. I'm going to be working. Winter's on our mind, apparently. I'll be working this week and next week with George to kind of develop a formalized snow removal plan that'll kind of give the council and the public information on how we proceed with snow removal, and so nobody's left in the dark. We want to help. We want everybody to know how we're doing that, and we also want to give you ideas or tips on how you can help us with our snow removal, such as where to park your vehicles when it snows and garbage cans and all that fun stuff that impedes our plowing operations. So look for that to come forward. Building inspector position that we've advertised closes tomorrow. We've received one application. I've not reviewed it yet. I just was informed that we received it. So we'll see how that looks and go forward from there. Utility rates increased effective November 1st. That's part of our rolling increase that was adopted by resolution 3 years ago, It included five increases this year. We've just increased rates November, and then we'll have one more set of rate increases before that resolution expires. So in the meantime, we'll be working on rate study, figure out if we need to run another rate increase systematically over time. Or if we're okay with the rates where they're at. So look for that information to come forward as well. And as George reported earlier, fall cleanup's been done, and we're just gathering some feedback on how that worked for us this year. Otherwise, it's only been a week or so since my last report to you, so I don't have much else to report on, except that you can expect probably a more thorough report tomorrow afternoon in your inbox via email. For the executive report, town council comments. Ms. Holcomb, you were faster.
I would just like to say thank you again for responding to my email about the nice dip on 3rd Street. Oh, it was horrible.
There's several more small cars in the
bus. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just want to say thank you for responding to that and getting that fixed before we had people having damaged cars.
Absolutely. Okay. Ms. Barker?
Okay. Mayor, Council, staff, and community members, I would like to read a letter that I have written to everyone. I would like to thank everyone that has supported me as a council member for the last 2 years, 10 months, 8 days since I first took my seat as a town council representative of Ward 1 to the town of Stevensville. There's been many times that I've gone home at night after a council meeting wondering if I had made the right decision or that I voted the right way. These are one of the many things that I have questioned in the last few months. Am I doing what is right for the town of Stevensville? I have asked myself countless times. I have quit reading the paper or watching the news due to all the negativity that has come from the town's local papers and to the media. We never used to be in the headlines almost every week. It was far and few articles about the town council. It used to be very quiet, and we all did our jobs like it would have been done always in the past. We did a good job, but we didn't get recognized for what we had done. I'm not here to bash on anyone about what has gone on or what is being reported to in the paper or in the media. However, it is time to move forward, and I mean forward, to make our community whole again. I know that some of you are not happy with the decision that I made tonight for the new council position. However, I'm doing what I feel may be the right decision for community and the council. I'm sorry if I didn't pick your candidate that you thought might be the perfect one or the fit for the job. I too have listened to many people and their thoughts. I did get a phone call from one of the community members who wanted to share with me who they thought would be a good fit for the position. I listened to all they had to say. They also wanted to know what I was feeling. I simply said to them I wouldn't share my decision with them. I told them that they could come to the meeting tomorrow evening, or they could listen to who I felt would be the best candidate I saw fit. I do appreciate them taking the time to make that call so I could hear what they had to say. I do have to say that it has been one of the hardest things that I have ever, as far as council member, to do what I did tonight. It wasn't making an easy decision for either of my council members to make that final decision. I also want to let the public know that I have contacted local authorities about people coming to my workplace and saying inappropriate accusations or suggestions. What you think might be kidding around, I may take in another way, and I is not always taken lightly. I feel that this is not the right, that it is not right, and it must not, and that it must stop. My workplace is somewhere I feel that is safe zone, as well as my home is a safe place as well. I do like visiting with people, but I do and will not discuss town business. Again, this is a place I come to work and talk with people and feel safe. If you feel that you need to contact me, there is a town email. I know that it is not, I know that I am a public official, but there is a time and a place for these things to be addressed. I have now made it public and aware of the situations that have occurred, and hopefully they will no longer continue to go on. I am here to let you know that I'm not going anywhere at this time. I will not be pushed out of my seat until it is my time to make the decision to stay or go. I'm here until the end of my term, at that time I will decide if I will run again or if I will throw in my hat. I would again like to thank all of you that have come in and have been very supportive to me, as well as my husband, who I have vented to way too much lately. Thank you for all of your continued support. Sincerely, Stacy Barker, Council Member, Ward 1.
Any further council comments? Board reports? I don't think any boards have met.
Mm-mm.
Okay. If there's nothing further, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn. Mrs. Holcomb. Oh, excuse me. I was going to mention that in my executive report. I apologize. It wasn't on the note. Jerry has to be sworn in tomorrow at 1:30 here at Town Hall.
Okay. Sorry, I'll have to miss it. I'll be at work.
Okay. We can always stream it.
Sorry, Barry. I'm streaming for an hour.
In fact, we may do that. It's a good way to let the public know what's going on. So, you know, we set the streaming up for council meetings primarily, but here and there, as we have staff available to run the system, we'll try to get as many meetings as we can out in the public eye so that they can participate how they see fit. So, if there's nothing further, we'll seek a motion to adjourn. Ms. Holcomb.
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second? Ms. Barker.
Second the motion.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.